Hey there, listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your week to listen in today. We're so glad you're here and are praying this message helps you. We also want to make sure you know about our latest podcast called the Anything's Possible Podcast. We've created it specifically with you in mind because we engage in deep conversations with people who are making both an impact here at our church and all around the city of Nashville. We believe everyone has a story to tell, a step to take, and that with Jesus, anything's possible. So make sure to subscribe today to the Anything's Possible podcast. You'll find it wherever you get your podcast. Okay, let's get you back to why you're here. Here's the latest message from Crosspoint Church.
You know, wants to start off with a question. We've actually come to a setting. I told you last week about running at a park, and I came to that park for the teaching today. And the question I want to start with is this: Do you ever feel scattered? Do you ever just kind of feel like just all over the place, where you just can't keep up, like you're pulled in a thousand directions? You know, that idea takes me back to earlier this year. It was back in March when Bree and I, we went to Arizona right before the world just kind of all shut down. And we were only there for one day because we got a call in the middle of the night that a tornado had hit Nashville. And so we flew back home. But it was enough time to get to see something that I'd only seen in cartoons. I'd only seen in movies and I'd never seen in real life. You know what I'm talking about? A tumbleweed. Have you ever seen one of these before in your life? Now, this is not a real live tumbleweed because tumbleweeds aren't live. They're dead. And this one, I got shipped to me UPS. Like, who knew that you could do that sort of thing to get tumbleweeds sent in the mail? And It made it to us so we could get a picture today. Just like a visual metaphor of how so many of us feel. Like the nature of a tumbleweed is it just kind of gets blown all over the place. Like it's not being held down. It's not rooted anywhere. You know, I've talked with many of you who have just said like that you just kind of feel like with all that's going on in your life and with all that's going on in our world, that you just kind of feel all over the place. Just kind of feel scattered. And my prayer for you today is that your faith would be strengthened. Like that your heart would be made strong. But I think one of the reasons we feel scattered is because we've stayed like hermits in our homes. And then automatically things just kind of, it just whiplashed back to this like hectic pace with kids and with school and work and sports and relationships. And some of us, we were just ready to charge back in. But then others were just real careful and just being real careful of like adding things on the calendar because we feel scattered. We feel scattered because we've stayed at home and stayed in our phones, like with media and messages just coming at us like a million miles an hour and all the headlines and the political soap opera and the social media circus. And we call it a news feed, but it's doing anything but feeding us. It's wearing us out. You know, Ree, my wife sent me a prayer a couple weeks back, and it's from a book called Every Moment Holy. I want to share it with you. And it says, in a world so wired and interconnected, our anxious hearts are pummeled by an endless barrage of troubling news. We are daily aware of more grief, O Lord, than we can rightly consider, of more suffering and scandal than we can respond to, of more hostility, hatred, horror, and injustice than we can engage with compassion. But you, O Jesus, are not disquieted by such news of cruelty and terror and war. You are neither anxious nor overwhelmed. You carried the full weight of the suffering of a broken world when you hung upon the cross, and you carry it still. You have many children in many places around the globe. Move each of our hearts to compassionately respond to those needs that intersect our actual lives, that in all places your body might be actively addressing the pain and brokenness of this world. Each of us liberated and empowered by your Spirit to fulfill the small part of your redemptive work assigned to us. Give us discernment in the face of troubling news reports. Give us discernment to know when to pray, when to speak out, when to act, and when to simply shut off our screens and our devices and to sit quietly in your presence, casting the burdens of this world upon the strong shoulders of the one who alone is able to bear them up. Amen. Isn't that good? I mean, the discernment to know when to simply shut off our screens and our devices and sit quietly in your presence. Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." When was the last time you did that? Like, just sat still without a screen, just sat still and knew that there was a God and that you're not Him. I mean, no wonder we feel scattered and we resist the stillness and we just keep scrolling. And it's not just news that's coming at us, it's also advertising. Have you ever been talking with your friends or your family about something, then like 3 minutes later, you look on your Instagram feed or on Facebook and it shows up? Like, what is that? Like, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's advertising. And in the information age, your attention is prime real estate. Every sponsored ad, somebody's paying good money to get in front of you, to try me, to buy me, to test me, to use me, to download me, to subscribe to me, to drive me, to put me in your hair. Like, no wonder we feel scattered and then isolated. We feel lonely and we long for connection. And so we like and we post and we comment and we share on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, keep streaks going on Snapchat, jumping from app to app like a social media casino. I mean, we're just pulling the lever of our post, hoping to hit the jackpot and hoping that our hearts would be satisfied, but we're never feeling like we can get off. We can get off the apps because our value and our worth are attached to some app. And so we feel scattered. Listen, Satan's primary objective is not you worshiping him. It's you worshiping anything but Jesus. Like, he's content with you ordering your life around anything or anyone other than God. And if he can't have you in depravity and sin, he'll take you in distraction. Like, just running all over the place like a tumbleweed, looking for something to satisfy your soul. And there are countless things in this world that promise us freedom, but they leave us empty. They end up leaving us hollow inside. From materialism to popularity to fame to pleasure to porn, drugs, countless other things that overpromise and underdeliver. It was Augustine that said, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." And he said that back in 400 AD, and it's never been more true. We've just never had more options than we have right now. And Jesus' offer is still the same. He says, "Come to me." Like, he wants us to know that the tumbleweed is not the only way to live. There was an Old Testament prophet, Jeremiah. He gives us this metaphor, this picture that speaks to the heart of how we were made to live in relationship with God, in relationship with others, in relationship with creation. I want you to look with me at Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. It says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Man, I love that picture. Jeremiah paints this beautiful picture of a grounded life, of a rooted life, of a tree by a stream. And we want to give you this visual. And here's this tree by this beautiful stream with roots going down into the water. And Jeremiah is saying, be like this. Let your roots go down deep into God, and he will give you confidence to stand when the storm comes, because the storm's going to come. Because in that storm, in that moment, you're going to know who you belong to. Your roots go deep. He said, I love that he says, you'll have no worries in a year of drought. Like, 2020, it's a year of drought that you can live without worry. And he says that you'll have fruit in your life in that year. That even though there's drought around you, that it can't take the life of God from within you. That there is a life within you, and you can have love and joy and peace and generosity and creativity and compassion and wisdom even in a year of drought. But it matters what you're rooted in. And this is the message that Paul is sharing with the church at Colossae. Now, we're in our fourth week of studying this book. I'm loving going through this together Paul is writing this letter from jail, and he's writing to encourage this young church at Colossae that they continue to grow, that they would continue to mature, and that they would continue to move forward in their faith, because it's a crazy time in their world. It would have been easy for them to feel scattered, because there were all kind of cultural forces vying for their attention. There were belief systems of that day, worldviews of that day, putting pressure on their hearts. And there were these four primary cultural forces. Now, if you're taking notes, you can write them down. They're paganism, Gnosticism, Judaism, and imperialism. Let me give them to you one more time. Paganism, Gnosticism, Judaism, and imperialism. Now, to understand this passage, it's going to require that we get some help understanding these things. So give me 4 minutes and I'll explain them. Are you ready? Here we go. Paganism, it was the dominant Hellenistic or Greek worldview that there were many gods. And so when Rome would go in and conquer a territory, they just take the gods or idols of the people and they just add them to the portfolio, to the god portfolio. And so there were all kind of gods for all kind of parts of life, like agriculture, fertility, water, trade, healing, earthquakes, sun, moon. Like, there were just a series of shrines and of idols and of temples where all these gods were worshipped. And when something bad would happen, the pagan priest would tell the people which god they made mad. So imagine how scattered life would feel, that every time something went wrong, you got to figure out which god you're not making happy. And imagine the relief when Paul comes to town and he tells people that Jesus is the one true God, that he holds all things together and that he loves them. Gnosticism. Now, we talked about this one last week. The Gnostics taught that there was this secret wisdom, like there was this special knowledge or this secret code to get to God, that it was only available for a select few, like an inner circle. And Gnosticism denied the deity of Christ. So this left people wondering, how do I get on the inside track with God? Imagine how scattered you'd feel trying to figure out how to get the secret code to get in with God. And whether you're in or whether you're out, and imagine the relief when Paul tells them that God is for everyone, and anyone and everyone can get in on this move with God, get in on life with him. Third is Judaism. Now, there was a synagogue there in Colossae. And as a Jew, Paul would go first to the Jews. He'd go to the synagogue, proclaim the gospel that Jesus is the Messiah, and then he'd go to the Gentiles. Jesus went first to the house of Israel and then to the nations. Look, he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. He didn't come to do away with Judaism. He came to fulfill it. He is the Messiah. And Jesus came to lay his life down. He died in our place so that we could be reconciled with God. Now, there were some Jews in Colossae, and they were telling the Gentiles that if they wanted to be saved, that they still needed to observe the Jewish law to be forgiven. And legalism will make you feel scattered, wondering if you're ever doing enough to be loved by God. Imagine the relief of knowing when Paul tells them that Jesus already fulfilled the law and that he's extended his grace. And then last, imperialism. I think I have 30 more seconds. Imperialism was this belief that Caesar was to be worshiped in the Roman Empire. See, when Rome would conquer a territory, they'd let you have as many gods as you wanted as long as Caesar was number one. And so with the statue in the center of town and coins in your pockets, the image on the coins, you were always being reminded that Caesar was looking over your shoulder and that Caesar was to be worshiped. And they called it Pax Romana, Roman peace, but really it was peace through the sword. If you didn't bow down to Caesar, you died. It would cost you your life. And so have you ever heard of the phrase, Jesus is Lord? Well, where did that come from? It was because in the empire, they said, Caesar is Lord. But these early Christians, they refused to bow to Caesar. Instead of saying, Caesar is Lord, they said, no, 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 Jesus is Lord. And for many of them, it cost them their lives. Now, why did I tell you all that? It wasn't just for a history lesson. It's so that you would see that there were cultural forces in their day, just like there are cultural forces in our day. Same kind of things, just different names. And Paul is writing this word, and he wants to teach us, and he wants to teach us, and I want to teach us today how we can take root in our lives and have lives of substance. Not lives that are scattered, but lives that are together. And so I want us to pick up in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised in Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Man, that's beautiful scripture. But I know that was a lot. And that's why what I want to do is I want to teach you through it. I want to teach you how to have a life that's rooted in the love of God. And when you feel scattered, how to take root. And a tumbleweed is passive. Like, to live as a tumbleweed, you don't have to do anything. It doesn't do anything. But if you want to put down roots, it's going to take effort. So let me give you four ways to put down roots. First, if you're taking notes, we live by grace. He says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Let me ask a question. How did you receive Christ Jesus as Lord? How were you saved? Ephesians says that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest anybody should boast. So how do we live? By grace through faith. Which God didn't like give us salvation by grace and then leave us to ourselves to try to figure it all out. We were saved by grace through faith. We live by grace through faith. We get off the treadmill of performance. Some of you just need to get off the treadmill of performance, trying to earn God's love, trying to earn his approval, trying to get on God's good side. If you're in Christ, you need to know you've already received his love. You've already received his approval. And so now we walk out our salvation in the same way we received it, by grace through faith. How do we do that? Number two, we put down roots. He says, be rooted and built up in him. Be strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Put down roots in the love of God. Roots that run deep into the reality of who he is and his love for you. Let your heart, here's what I want you to do. I want you to let your heart be nourished by the truth he gives you in his word. And we can't do this on the run. We have to be still. This tree, what you see above ground tells the story of what's going on underneath the surface. And your life tells the story of what's going on in the root system of your life. What's going on behind the scenes. What you're going to behind the scenes for your love, joy, and peace. When I say put down roots, here's what I mean. It's being still enough and slowing down enough that you recognize what you need. And you take that to God. I feel tired. God, I need strength. I feel anxious. God, I need your peace. I feel downcast. God, I need hope. I feel afraid. I need faith. I feel resentment. I need love. I feel timid. I need confidence. I feel alone. I need your presence. The pantry is open. But I think oftentimes we feel scattered because we don't know what we feel and we don't know what we need. And God wants us to be still enough that we know him and that we know what we need and we ask him for it. But you have to be still for that. Let your roots go down deep into the love of God. And I think another thing to do when we feel scattered is that we overflow with thankfulness. I love how Paul puts that. He mixes metaphors here. He goes from deep roots to a stream. My English teacher in high school, Miss Tilly, she wouldn't be a fan of that, but she's not writing scripture. Paul is, and Paul's saying, I want us to overflow the banks of our lives with gratitude. Listen, when we express gratitude, it brings us back to center. Like we realize we're not alone and we have a Father in heaven who's gonna provide for us, who has provided for us, who is good and gives good gifts. Listen, when the advertising of this world pummels you and leaves you super aware of all that you don't have and all the needs that you didn't know that you did have, that they tell you that you have, what gratitude does is it gives us eyes to see the good things that we have. Like, it's amazing what a pen and a piece of paper in 10 minutes can do to raise the waterline of gratitude. When you just start listing out what you have in your life to be grateful for, the waterline of gratitude in your heart, it goes over the banks, your heart, your home, and the table. It's not just for Thanksgiving. We're talking about Thanksgiving. Like, how do you live with gratitude? And Paul says, when you feel scattered, overflow the banks with thankfulness. And then he says, guard your heart and mind. Listen, Paul says, be careful. Be careful that no one leads you astray. It's in verse 8. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. That word captive, like that's strong language. And Paul is saying, be careful of any philosophy or worldview that seeks to make sense of this world without Christ. What he's saying is it's incomplete at best and it's dangerous at worst. So be careful, be discerning. Listen, if there was a hollow tree behind me, I'm not just gonna go over there and put my hand in that tree. I'm gonna wonder what's inside of there. There could be bees. It could be a snake. I'm not a fan of snakes, especially rivers and snakes. Those things don't go together. It could be a badger. I don't even know if there are badgers in Middle Tennessee, but there could be a badger there. I'm not just gonna put my hand into a hollow tree. And Paul is saying, be careful where you put your mind. Be careful where you put your heart, because there are deceptive philosophies of this world that are man-centered, that elevate man over God. He's saying, don't give your heart and mind to a system of thinking of this world that is without Christ at the center. Listen, we can learn and we can discern and we can discover principles, but whenever we find truth out there, it's because somebody borrowed it from God. Augustine said, let every good and true Christian understand that wherever truth may be found, it belongs to his master. There's a lot of lowercase t truth in the world, but Jesus is the capital T truth. So always measure lowercase t truth against the uppercase t truth. And Paul is saying, if it doesn't line up with Jesus, it's hollow, because Christ is fullness. He's the fullness of God. In verse 9, look with me at what he says. He says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Christ is the fullness. And it says, and in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. It says he is the head of every power and authority. Now, it's only because Christ is fullness that we can be fulfilled. It's why my life was empty before him. But he's filled me with his joy and with his peace. He's filled us with his goodness and his knowledge. He's filled us with his Holy Spirit. He's filled us with the fruit of righteousness. Everything we need to be whole, complete, and fulfilled is found in Christ. And then Paul just makes it real clear. You don't need anything other than Jesus. Another way to say this is Christ plus nothing equals everything. You have everything you need in Christ. Now, some false teachers in Judaism, they were telling Gentile believers that if they really wanted to be right with God, that they needed to be circumcised. Circumcision was a sign of the old covenant. When a male child was eight days old, they would circumcise that child, symbolizing their faith in God. And Paul is saying, you don't need to do that, thank God. He's telling the Gentiles there, you don't have to do that. It's like what saves you isn't on the outside, it's in your heart. And baptism is a picture of the new covenant. It's what's happened on the inside. But listen, baptism doesn't save you. It's a defining moment. It's a declaration. It's a powerful moment to declare who your trust is in. The scattered tumbleweed system of this world, it's saying in that world, I'm choosing Jesus. I'm putting my roots down in you. And it was at baptism where those early Christians, that was when they would say, Jesus is Lord. Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is Lord. I'm putting my trust in him. My trust is not in Caesar. My trust is in Jesus. My life belongs to him. And baptism points us to the cross, to that truth that you were dead in your sin and you were made alive. Look with me at verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He gave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus took your sin. And it says he forgave us all our sin. He took all of your sin on the cross. All means the ones you can't remember. All means the ones you can't seem to forget. It says he canceled your debt. He took it away. It says it's gone. It's done. When he said, it is finished, it is finished, it's done, he removed it. And it says that scripture teaches us that God chooses to remember no more, that a holy God no longer holds your sin against you. That's why they call it good news. And now when he looks at you, he doesn't see your sin, he sees his son. Because of what happened on a tree 2,000 years ago at a place called Golgotha, outside of the city, where Jesus hung on the cross and he breathed his last so that you can breathe new life, so that you could have a life that's rooted in the love of God. When you feel scattered, go to the cross. Remember what he did for you. Listen, he laid down his life so that you could be free, but so that you could have deep roots, that your heart could be rooted in his love. And it was there that he triumphed over sin and death and hell and shame and darkness and fear and eternal separation from the Father. Because of what he did on the cross, you can be free from the power of sin over your life, and you can be free to know God, to have the fullness of God in your life. Listen, you don't have to live a scattered life, like a tumbleweed blown around through life. You can have a life of substance and purpose deeply rooted in him. And if you'd like to do that for the first time today, in a few moments, I want to lead you in a prayer to begin a new life with God, to put your roots into him. Before we pray together, I want to extend an invitation. I want to extend an invitation for you to remember what Jesus did for you on the cross. And one way that we remember well is through communion. Because before Jesus went to the cross, he gathered with his disciples in an upper room and he said, do this, what I'm doing with you, do it in remembrance of me. Every time you eat this bread, every time you drink this wine, remember me. And I'm sure those disciples are like, Jesus, how are we gonna forget you? Like, we left everything to follow you. We've been with you for 3 years. How could we forget? But he knew, Jesus knew. He knew that they could get so caught up in life and the demands and the busyness and so discouraged by bad news. He knew that they could get distracted and divided and scattered in this world. And so he said, remember. Because when you remember, that word remember means to bring members back together again. It brings all our pieces and all our parts, brings them back into alignment. When we remember well, it brings us back whole. He's saying what you do with communion is you remember you're made whole, to bring your scattered pieces back together. And this evening, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. So at all of our campuses, our pastors, staff, teams would love to serve you communion. And you can come by yourself, you can bring the family. We just love to see you. We'd love to serve you, love to pray with you there. And in a scattered world, in a scattered time, we'd love to just help you root your life a little more in the love of God at the cross and be renewed by the streams of life. So we'll be there from 5 to 7. Hopefully we'll get to see you. Hopefully you can stop by. If you're not in the Middle Tennessee area, you can experience communion at your home. Find some bread, some juice, and some time to just be still and know that he is God, to give thanks and remember what he did on the cross for you. But what I'd love to do in closing is lead you through a moment of prayer. Listen, if you've been feeling scattered, this is for you. If you haven't been feeling scattered, well, this is just time to put down deeper roots, to bring it back to center, to be rooted in his love. So can we do that together? Let's pray. Father, right now, we thank you for your love. We stop the hectic pace just to be still with you, to be still and remember. I pray for those right now who need to know that you are in charge and that you're in control. God, I pray in this moment of stillness, Lord, that you would extend your peace, that you would extend your grace, that they would rest in your love. Father, I pray that you give them an awareness right now of what they need most from you. And as the Spirit of God brings it to mind, whether it's peace, hope, grace, patience, gentleness, wisdom, direction, purpose. Even right now, in the stillness, as he brings it to mind, just ask him for it. Now turn that prayer to gratitude and just give thanks. Look around with awareness of your life and find something to give thanks for. Father, would you give us eyes to see? Would you give us a baptism of just fresh seeing in our lives to see how good you've been to us, how good you are? And now in the stillness, Holy Spirit, we invite you to search our hearts and our minds. If there's any deceptive philosophy, if there's any way of thinking or any system of thought that we've given our heart to that doesn't have Christ at the center, we repent. We just come home. We come back to you. And now in the stillness, we turn our minds and our hearts toward the cross, and we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that our sin is nailed to that tree. And right now, as you remember the cross, would you just, maybe there's a sin that the evil one, that the enemy keeps bringing up from your past, or something that has happened in your life. You remind your soul right now that it's been forgiven. And you are set free. Your life is not scattered. It is rooted in the love of God and the forgiveness and in the grace of God because of what happened on the cross. And Jesus, in the stillness right now, there are some who have never put their trust in you, never put their faith in you. You're working in their life. You're drawing them to yourself. And if that's you, if you want to begin today new life with God, and if you've already prayed a prayer like this, then I would ask you to pray for those across Middle Tennessee who have never made this their prayer. But if you'd like to begin a relationship with God for the first time and put your trust in Jesus, then I'd invite you to pray a prayer like this with me. You can pray, Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. Right now, I put my trust in you. I make my prayer today that Jesus is Lord. I want to walk with you here on earth and spend forever with you in heaven. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, you had a lot of other people across Middle Tennessee praying for you. And we want to encourage you as a church. So here's what I'd ask. I'd ask that you text the word life to 276-398, the number on your screen. We'd love to just encourage you in your faith. And we're excited for tonight. Hopefully you can join us for communion, and we hope to see you there. And next week, we'll continue our journey through Colossians together. See you next week.